Hello, this is Radio Gorgeous and this is Victoria Pearson, and today my guest is New York singer Louise Aubrey. Louise, welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Now, I've just said you're a New York singer, but you're not, are you?
So no, I'm from sunny London, although I do spend a lot of my time in New York, so I feel like an honorary New Yorker.
Could I call you a London slash New York singer? Would that be okay?
Or? Yeah, I like, some people say transatlantic, and I think that sounds very glamorous, so I like that.
Oh, that does sound good. Yeah, perhaps we'll call you that, transatlantic singer. That's quite nice, isn't it? Now, your latest album, When I Don't Love You, I'll Let You Know, is based around the movies of Cary Grant. What
Yes.
makes him such a big inspiration for you?
I just think everything about sort of his story, if you like, because I think the artist, you know, is aspiring to be somebody or something. And I think, you know, Cary Grant came from very humble beginnings in Bristol, a very poor background, you know, quite deprived. And, you know, just made himself into this huge transatlantic movie star. And, you know, he very famously, you know, I pretended to be someone until I became that person. And I think a lot of artists, be it, you know, music or film or writers, you have this kind of vision of who you would like to be and where you would like to be. And he's, you know, he's that rare success story that really just transformed his life. And I just found that, you know, on a sort of personal level, really inspiring. And then plus coupled with his work in the movies. And I just absolutely love sort of that old Hollywood, and especially his movies, because they're just so simple. But I don't mean that in a sort of derogatory way. I mean, as you know, there was no CGI special effects or that kind of thing. It was just these really sort of simple, straightforward stories that, you know, you could just totally relate to. And I just got very drawn in when I started watching them, and I just wanted to watch more and more. And I almost subconsciously started writing about them, and that kind of started the beginnings of this new record.
Because he started out as Archibald Leach, that was his name, wasn't it?
That was, exactly, yeah. And then they decided that wasn't Hollywood enough. Yeah. And they said they were looking for something, and I think they suggested, something like Gary Cooper. And they thought, Gary Cooper, Cary Grant, that'll do. And that's kind of what the executives decided on, so yeah.
I mean, when you're going back, when you were as beautiful as Cary Grant was, you didn't really need special effects, did you? He was the special effects, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, he was a great presence. You know, obviously he was very handsome, but really charismatic, you know, had that real screen presence, I think. You know, he sort of did kind of light up the screen, because he's quite well known as sort of a lot of screwball comedy. But I think he was a fantastic actor. I mean, there's some of his serious roles, I think, are where he really shined, you know, as an actor, not just like as a film star, but as an actor.
See, one of the films I really like that he was in is one that people don't really know much about, which is called Operation Petticoat.
Where he was... is that with Tony Curtis?
Yeah. Do you know that one?
Yes.
I've actually met Tony Curtis towards the end of his life. I met Tony Curtis.
Have you? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and I got his autograph as well, because he signed his book signing at Harrods.
And he put,
the thing is, when I met him, I just went, oh my God, it's Tony Curtis. And he was in a wheelchair and he was old and everything, but I didn't care. It was Tony Curtis. So I went over to him, just pumped his arm up and down, his hand up and down.
Yeah.
And everybody else was treating him like an old man, and I didn't. And
he wrote that's in my, amazing.
He wrote in my book, he put, Victoria, a pleasure for my heart.
Oh, that's so lovely, because like you say, I would be so starstruck, someone like that, because again, like Hollywood royalty, and you know, and I think, you know, Tony Curtis was a huge fan of Cary, you know, I know they worked on that, but I think that was his whole, you know, in his impression in Some Like It Hot, you know, he always said he was basically, you know, trying to be Cary Grant, being the fake millionaire, and you know, he was a big hero of his, and you know, them working together in that movie, like Edward's film, I think, you know, is like, it's a great film.
It is. When I met Tony Curtis, I thought, this is the nearest I'm ever going to get to this world of Marilyn Monroe, Cary Grant, and all these big stars, because it's actually Tony Curtis. I'm actually meeting him. I know he's not the same as he used to be, but I tell you something, Louise, he filled that room with his personality still.
Sure. I mean, how long ago was that?
Few years ago now, so it was just before he died. He was 84 when I met him.
Wow. But yeah, like you say, he's just an absolute star, and someone like that, like you said, I'm sure could fill and light up any room. So, you know, there aren't that many people like that, you know, to be that sort of charismatic and just have that, having that quality, isn't it? Yeah.
And I bet that Cary Grant was just the same. But them two together working in that film, I really liked that dynamic because they just had such fun together.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because I think, and it, that comes across, doesn't it? I think they got on and were good friends. And like I said, I know, you know, Tony Curtis always said Cary Grant was a bit of a hero, and, you know, they became good friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it sort of really shows, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's
a... Say, I mean, you know, for most people, again, in the industry, I haven't really heard any sort of bad, negative things. I mean, you hear stories and gossip and things, but nothing particularly negative, though, about him or about his character.
I mean, he was very interesting in that he actually experimented with LSD quite a bit in therapy, didn't he? And he was... Did you know about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. In I think it was in the 60s that he quite got heavily into LSD, because I think it was part of a therapy, because I think he had, you know, a lot of issues from his childhood and certainly with his mother, because he was told when he was a young child, his father told him that his mother had died, and she hadn't. He'd had her committed to a psychiatric unit, you know, and it wasn't until he was actually grown, and I think it was when he'd actually become Cary Grant and had some level of fame, I think it wasn't until then that he discovered his mother was actually alive. And he went back, you know, to the UK and managed to then, you know, have a relationship with her, because, you know, he found that out. So and then from that point on, you know, they were very close, and he'd come back to the UK a lot to visit her. But I think, you know, so he obviously had quite a lot of trauma to deal with. And I know he did go down that kind of psychedelic and some of those drugs routes. And I think he was quite positive about the experience. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he was with his experience with it.
He was enthusiastic about it. But it's quite interesting because people often think of Cary Grant as being quite a conventional sort of person, but he wasn't.
Yeah, sort of straight. Yeah.
He wasn't. He was anything but that, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd say such an interesting life all round, really.
Yeah, and very groundbreaking in the films as well. You know, the way that he acted, a very groundbreaking style stuff, I think.
Yes.
Very much his own man, you know? Each track on the album is inspired by a different Cary Grant movie. So What If is inspired by North by Northwest and so on. What was your writing method for this? Did you sit down and watch a film and then write a song and kind of keep doing it like that?
Yeah, well, it was kind of, so somebody said to me recently, actually, so, oh, it's a concept album. And it was really funny because I hadn't really ever thought of it like, I thought, oh, that's a fair comment, actually. You know, when people talk about, you know, this body of work. And but really, it was just a few years ago, I just by chance happened to catch a couple of his movies on the TV. And I was just really drawn in, and you know, because I'd always been obviously aware of Cary Grant, you know, his name, and he was this movie star, but I didn't know, you know, too much about him at that point. But once I started watching some of these films, I just felt like I just wanted to watch more and more. And then I began to research, you know, found more and more about him, because I was just so interested. I knew, obviously, you know, he changed his name and he changed his life, but I didn't know all the ins and outs. And I started watching these movies, and it was almost subconsciously, I just started writing about some of the characters initially without kind of thinking about it or realizing. And I thought, oh, actually, you know, I'm sort of reflecting this story, because with the songs on the new record, it's like some of them are almost kind of a retelling or talking about the movie. Some of them aren't. They're just kind of based on it. They're not sort of direct references. It was this thing. I thought, wow, I'm actually writing about these movies, and I didn't realise how much it sort of got into my consciousness, you know, how much I liked these. And then I just started watching more and more and more. And then after I'd written maybe the first half a dozen, I'm like, okay, this is actually what I'm going to write this about. So I didn't sort of start right at the beginning saying I'm going to write a movie about Cary Grant. It was just that it was kind of just quite natural that it started, and then I thought, oh, that's what I'm doing. Writing a record about Cary Grant movies. Well, that's cool. And then, so sort of about halfway through, I thought, that's what I'm doing. And then I did sort of seek out some ones that particularly spoke to me. You know, I decided to write about, because obviously he made, you know, many, many movies in his career. I think probably around 70 or 80 movies. I'm not exactly sure. So I've just, you know, picked some of my favourites, really. So I say, yeah, it wasn't planned, but it was just sort of happened organically. And then I thought, you know, yes, this is what I want to do. Everybody does, any writer. You kind of write what you know, and you write from your own experiences and your own kind of start there with their own stories and their own experiences. This is really exciting for me because I'd always just written, you know, from my own perspective and what I, you know, the experiences I've had. So to sort of have this as a jumping off point and have, you know, have him as a muse and just have other stories and other protagonists, and I'm not writing from my point of view, that was like really interesting to me. It was something I hadn't done before, and it, you know, and it was nice. It was like a change to just kind of sitting down and thinking, oh, you know, what do I want to say? It was almost like, you know, how can I give a voice to these other characters that have affected me? So it was a really nice change to do that. It was just like a different perspective.
But would you ever be tempted to write an album about, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. or Frank Sinatra or someone?
Probably not now. I mean, I don't know. Never say never, because I feel like, you know, I've I've done this, for saying it, and it was quite unexpected, but I've done it. I mean, those guys, you know, are amazing. I'm a huge fan. I mean, people used to say to me, I think when I first started music, you know, so, you know, people always say, who are your influences and who did you admire? And always Frank Sinatra kind of straight away, and it's like, but you're making indie rock records. And it wasn't so much that. It's like Sinatra to me was like, I don't think there's ever been anyone who could phrase singing better than him. You know, he was never once unsure in delivery, ever. And just the way he phrased his songs and his lyrics, I think, is like, I don't think anyone will ever be better than him. And, you know, I'm a huge fan. And again, my goodness, he had an interesting life. And the same with, like, Sammy Davis, all those guys, and all the Rat Pack guys, you know, it's just love. I'm sure it's rose-tinted glasses, but, you know, when you look back to that old Hollywood, it does seem so glamorous and so exciting and interesting. I think because we didn't know as much. You know, these days, everybody's on social media the whole time. And in those days, if you were a star, you really were a star. You know, these days, it seems anyone, you know, anyone can be famous and anyone can sort of be online. But I think those guys really had something special because, you know, it was just kind of the cream of the crop and the most talented people that actually made it. So, you know, I'm certainly a massive fan. I don't know if I would sort of write about those things, but who knows? We'll see. You give me an idea, actually.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know if you wanted to keep this idea going because it's quite interesting to write just about one movie star, or, you know, it's an interesting idea. I can't recall anyone that's done this before apart from yourself. It's different.
It was great for me. It was just really interesting, and it was a lovely to have those reference points, to be honest.
Now, your singing style is very direct and reminds me of Sandy Shaw. How did you develop your style?
Oh, wow, thank you. That's a huge compliment. Sandy's a great singer and a great performer. I don't know is a short answer, sort of, you know, sort of developing a style. I think it's just how it comes out. It's funny because sometimes, you know, if I think about the bands that have influenced me, I love a lot of punk and post-punk and everything, but that's not really how my music comes out. And even sometimes when I sit down and think, oh, I want to write, you know, sort of a real punk track or even a swing track or something, and yet it kind of always comes out sounding like me, you know, no matter if I want to try and, you know, maybe change. So I don't really know. I'm sorry to give such a not a very good answer there, but I don't know. I guess it's just me. That's just how I am, and I'm not sure sort of style-wise. It's just how it comes out.
Yeah, and so who are your main music influences? You said mentioned punk. I think
growing up, like, I was very lucky. My parents sort of handed me down, you know, some real classic albums, like everyone really, but, you know, things like, you know, Bowie and Elvis and Sinatra, a lot of that going on, and even people like the Carpenters. I remember them giving me some of these records. And Blondie was a huge influence, and Debbie Harry. And then that kind of, I really love all that kind of, that sort of 70s punk stuff with like Ramones, Blondie, Television, you know, Talking Heads, people like that. And then the classics, again, they'll say like people like Sinatra, etc. And then coming up through more recently, you know, the Smiths, and then the indie pop kind of people like Suede, and then recently like the Killers, Arcade Fire. So kind of, I really love the kind of guitar driven kind of rock pop sound is what I really love.
Okay. Now, you're also working with Boz Bora on this album. How did you come to collaborate with him?
Yeah, I've been really lucky. I've been working with Boz for about the last 10 years in various capacities. So when I first started, was at Mill Hill Music Complex in North London, which is near where I live. Actually sort of met him properly when I was in New York. He was on tour with Morrissey. And he kind of just took me under his wing. I was really lucky, and we just got on really well. And, you know, he just really helped me and ended up producing my first two records. This is actually my fourth studio album, and Boz produced the first two, and he's played on all of them in some capacity, usually adding, you know, guitar parts and key parts. So, yeah, he's just been like a real mentor. And, you know, to have someone like that's amazing, because he's written some of my favourite songs, you know, certainly, you know, with Morrissey in the 90s, some absolutely amazing songs. So yeah, just happened to come across him from my sort of first recording experiences.
And there's quite a Morrissey attitude to quite a lot of what you're doing, I think, as well, taking those iconic people and writing songs about them. And I know Morrissey always used to have somebody on front of his album like Charles Hawtrey or someone like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of feeling, I think. You've got that same approach that Morrissey's got.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that there's just so much, isn't there, to draw from. Because, you know, some people talk about art or music being derivative. But I just think, you know, it should be. How could it not be? Because if you think about all the wonderful music and art and film and writing that's already out there, I think you'd be foolish not to draw on it. You know, I'm not talking about plagiarising, but, you know, just to be inspired and to draw from these things. And, those other artists do. And that's what I found. I mean, everybody will be inspired by people that have come before them. And I think it's just a case of whether you put those inspirations kind of front and centre or whether they're more in the background. And obviously, this time, for me, it was front and centre.
I mean, he was always banging on about Taste of Honey and how much he loved the film. You know that film?
Taste of Honey.
I met Dora Bryan once in a cafe in Brighton. She just walked into me and started talking to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. she had somebody with her. And she started going, oh, I feel very confused today. And she just started talking to me. And I thought, I thought you're just like you were in that film, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't say, you're Dora Bryan, but... It was Dora Bryan, and she went to retire in Brighton when I used to live there. And I thought, you're Dora Bryan.
Yeah, Dora Bryan, that's right, yeah. And that was, I think, Tottingham was in that, I think. And, Sheila Delaney played. Yes, it's a great film, I think 60s, wasn't it? So, it's amazing that she just happened to be there. Did you speak with her?
Yeah, but we didn't talk about anything very important, just about what the weather was like sort of thing, you know, so like...
Yeah.
She was lovely. She was just, like, really nice. Like, just totally normal, nice person. Andy Woodward is famed for playing the drums for Adam Ant. How did he come to produce your album?
Yeah, and Andy's probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I think. So my previous musical director was Tom Edwards, who I met through Boz. It's sort of, you know, it's all connected. So Boz introduced me to Tom, and Tom was Adam's musical director because, you know, Adam's been back out on tour, I think, the last sort of maybe 6, 7, 8 years. He's had a sort of a resurgence and is doing a lot of touring now. He's put on such a brilliant show. And Boz introduced me to Tom, and Tom and I did some work together. And then Tom very sadly passed away a couple of years ago. But Tom had introduced me to Andy because Tom and Andy were playing in Adam's band. So they'd been playing, and they'd also been playing in their own band together for quite a number of years, sort of, you know, being sort of best friends. And so shortly before Tom passed away, which is the beginning of 2017, we'd already started talking about doing a new record together, like the three of us, Tom, Andy and myself. And then it just sort of made sense really for Andy and I to kind of carry on, because yes, Andy's best known for playing drums with Adam, but he's, you know, he's a mixer and producer, and he's also a multi-instrumentalist, and he'll often be out, you know, playing bass, playing guitar, singing on gigs all around the UK and a lot in Europe now as well. So, you know, he's kind of an all-rounder guy. So, you know, we just started speaking about it, and then we just thought, why don't we just do this together, sort of mainly just the two of us, which I just loved, because my previous record that I did with Tom, we actually did in Abbey Road a few years ago, which was amazing, but it's kind of like, where do you go from there? You know, you've got the most famous place in the world. So we decided to go a lot more low-key, and I loved it because it was mainly just myself and Andy, and then Boz contributed his parts, but I felt just a lot more involved in everything. Because it was mainly just the two of us. So yeah, it was a really great experience, actually, really good.
Do you feel that in some ways you were born in the wrong time musically, as the 60s is such a big influence on you?
I feel like maybe I'd have loved to have been around in the 70s, actually, you know, with all those all that kind of punk stuff going on. I'd have absolutely loved that. Or back in like the 40s with this Golden Hollywood. So yeah. That would have suited me. Although those two things are very different, aren't they? If you think about Golden Hollywood and then talk about punk. But I think they're just such strong sort of themes, aren't they? Whatever it is, it's just so strong, and there's such an identity there. Whereas I'm not sure such things exist as much, you know, to have those real strong identities. So I think that's what it is when you've got something that's just really out there and really strong and what they believe in.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Now, if you could collaborate with anyone, either living or dead, who would you choose?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Well, obviously, Carrie, if it was anything film-related. And music-wise, I don't know, because I don't know if it sounds... It sounds so cheesy to say, you know, people like Bowie or Elvis or Sinatra, but it would probably have to be somebody like that, you know? It probably would be, because, you know, these people are just the most amazing talents that we've had, you know? Mm. So... Brilliant, thank you.
And for more gorgeous interviews, visit radiogorgeous.com.